The world of AI, it just moves so incredibly fast, doesn't it?
It really does. Every day feels like something new.
Yeah, a new headline, maybe a breakthrough, sometimes a warning, or just an application that changes things. It's a lot.
It can definitely be overwhelming to keep track of it all.
Exactly. And that's why we're here today. We're going to do a deep dive into, well, a specific snapshot. We're looking at the key AI stuff from September 5th, 2025.
Right, using the AI Unravel Daily Rundown as our guide.
Our mission is basically to cut through all that noise. We want to walk you through how AI is, rapidly reshaping things, global companies, job markets.
Even our homes and how we create things.
Totally. We want to give you a clear, engaging sense of what's happening and really why it should matter to you.
And we're not just going to list the news items. The idea is to peel back the layers a bit.
Understand the why behind it.
Exactly. The strategies, the potential long-term implications. We really hope you, the listener, engage that critical thinking as we piece this AI puzzle together.
All right, let's dive in. First up, OpenAI. They're making some, well, pretty bold moves. It really suggests a full stack strategy.
Yeah, it's more than just building the models themselves.
Right. It feels like they're trying to shape the entire ecosystem from the people using AI.
To the actual silicon chips powering it all.
So first, this new OpenAI jobs platform and a certification program alongside it.
Fidji Simo, their CEO of Applications, announced this.
Yes. The platform's designed to connect businesses, and not just big ones, they mentioned small businesses, local governments too, with workers who have AI skills.
Okay, so like a specialized job board.
Kind of, but it seems more integrated. There's this new AI fluency certification. They developed it with partners like Walmart.
Oh, interesting. Walmart's involved.
Yeah. And it's called the OpenAI Academy. It teaches AI fluency, apparently right within ChatGPT, different levels from basic concepts to like prompt engineering.
And ethics, presumably.
They mentioned ethical application, yeah. And
And
the goal is, well, it's huge, certify 10 million Americans by 2030.
wow, 10 million.
Yeah,
That's
pretty huge.
ambitious.
It definitely is. And it lines up with those White House AI literacy pushes we've heard about.
So OpenAI isn't just the disruptor here, they're also positioning themselves as the solution provider for retraining.
Exactly. It frames them that way. And it puts them right up against, LinkedIn, Microsoft's LinkedIn.
That's a direct challenge in the talent marketplace. It's a very strategic move.
A remarkably strategic play, isn't it? But wait, there's more. Their ambition goes beyond just people and skills.
Right, the hardware side.
They're jumping headfirst into hardware. Announced a partnership with Broadcom,
The semiconductor firm.
yep, to produce their very first custom AI chip
For their own use.
for their own internal use,
Yeah.
scheduled for 2026 production. For systems like ChatGPT, this is a massive step.
Towards reducing reliance on others, like NVIDIA.
Precisely. Lessening that costly dependence on GPUs, especially NVIDIA's, and getting direct, granular control over the hardware.
Which is critical for training and running these huge models.
Absolutely. So OpenAI designs it, and TSMC actually fabricates the chip.
Using their advanced processes. Makes sense. They're following the path of Google with TPUs, Amazon with their chips.
Right, like the tensor processing units, specialized hardware just for AI tasks.
What really stands out to me here is the vertical integration the signals for OpenAI.
Meaning.
Well, they're not just software anymore. They're strategically moving into the foundational hardware and the human capital side, the whole pipeline.
So owning the chips gives them cost control.
Cost control, definitely. That's huge, given the expense of training these models, but also customization.
Ah, tailoring the hardware exactly to their software needs.
Exactly, for potentially much better performance. And then the jobs platform and certification. That's brilliant, really.
How so?
It addresses the job displacement fears head-on, frames them as helping solve the problem their tech might create.
Right, proactive PR almost.
But more than that, it sets a standard for AI literacy, expands their influence, probably creates new revenue streams too.
So this double move, hardware and workforce, it really heats up the competition, especially with Microsoft.
Undeniably, Microsoft has LinkedIn, Azure Cloud, investments in AI. OpenAI is carving out its own very broad territory now.
That's a powerful strategic play. But I wonder, does this vertical integration risk making OpenAI too powerful? Could it stifle smaller players?
That's a completely valid concern. It's a great question.
I mean, if everyone needs their certification for jobs and their chips are the best.
It absolutely raises questions about market dominance. It could create higher barriers to entry for startups or competitors who rely on a more open ecosystem.
So it forces others to innovate even faster or find really specific niches.
Pretty much. Oh. It's a strategic power move, no doubt, with big implications for how the whole AI industry might shape up.
And speaking of shaving things up,
yeah.
We're seeing another big shift. AI moving closer to us, becoming more local, more autonomous.
Yeah, almost the opposite of the giant centralized model in some ways. More personal.
Exactly. Let's talk about Google DeepMind's embedding Gemma.
Right, the new addition to their open source Gemma family.
And this one's different because it's designed to be super efficient, right? Like, run on your phone.
Precisely. Run directly on consumer devices, smartphones, laptops. And the key thing is enabling offline tasks.
Offline, like no internet needed.
Yep. Offline search, text understanding in over 100 languages, all without hitting the cloud.
Wow. As someone who travels or just, you know, has a spotty signal sometimes.
Yeah.
Offline AI sounds pretty game-changing.
It really could be.
Yeah.
And they say it's fast enough for real-time responses, uses less memory than your photo app.
And they built it with privacy in mind.
That seems to be a major focus, keeping sensitive data on your device. Imagine searching your own emails, messages, files offline.
That's huge for privacy. Developers can tweak it too. Accuracy versus speed.
Yeah, they could adjust the precision. And it integrates with developer tools, runs in browsers.
It feels like this opens the door for a whole new category of apps, doesn't it? Privacy first, offline apps.
Definitely. And it certainly signals Google's ambitions for more powerful on-device AI assistance down the line. Maybe using things like federated learning.
Okay, so that's AI getting closer, more personal. Then there's this news about DeepSeek.
Ah, the Chinese startup. They made waves before.
Right, with their R1 model. Now they're working on a self-improving AI agent. Aiming for Q4 2025.
Self-improving. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it's not just about following instructions. It's designed to plan multiple steps, self-correct based on feedback.
Right. Learn from his own mistakes.
Gotta like that, yeah. Autonomously achieve complex goals. Liang Wenfeng, the founder, is pushing this. It follows trends we've seen hints of elsewhere, like ChatGPT agent.
And Anthropic's Claude for Chrome experiments.
Exactly. When I read this, I immediately thought about productivity. Imagine an AI that could actually manage a whole project for you, adapting as it goes.
That's the promise of true agentic AI, isn't it? Yeah. Systems that handle complex workflows with minimal input and just get better over time.
It sounds incredibly powerful.
So if you connect these two threads, AI moving on device, like embedding Gemma, for privacy and accessibility.
And the rise of these truly autonomous agents, like DeepSeek's goal.
The convergence points towards a future of highly personalized, proactive, maybe even independent AI assistance.
That could totally change how we interact with tech, with information itself.
Imagine your phone's AI, running locally, managing your schedule, drafting emails, doing research, handling customer service, learning all the time.
But that raises a big question, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Where's the line between the amazing convenience and the control we give up?
Yeah. What happens if we outsource too much decision-making to these super capable agents?
It's a critical balance we need to think about. Convenience versus control.
That's a really profound thought, because the convenience side is definitely tempting. But, okay, how much of this future is actually here now? Let's shift to how AI is showing up today.
In our daily lives, in businesses, beyond the hype.
Okay, so take Starbucks. You wouldn't necessarily think AI first, but they're rolling out AI-powered inventory scanning.
Across thousands of stores.
11,000 North American stores. Baristas use tablets, scan stock levels, oat milk, cold foam, whatever, in seconds.
Saves time, presumably.
A lot of time. They estimate 16,500 labor hours saved per week.
Wow. So fewer, sorry, we're out of that moment.
Hopefully. And they say it frees up baristas to focus more on customer service. Maybe more like brand ambassadors.
Interesting. A shift in the job role itself. Not just making coffee, but maybe managing the tech too.
Yeah, AI whisperers instead of just coffee makers, maybe.
Ugh.
And then in our homes, Samsung's big push.
The SmartThings meets AI home campaign.
Yeah, showing how their platform uses AI to simplify daily life, adjusting the thermostat, managing chores, even pet care stuff.
Their slogan captures it, doing less, living more.
It's all about that seamless integration, anticipating needs.
Making the smart home actually smart.
And even entertainment is getting a huge AI boost. The NFL.
Oh, yeah, their season kickoff campaign. You better believe it.
It looks incredible. A blend of generative AI, CGI, live action, creating the surreal moving celebration for all 32 teams.
Like a giant dynamic float with changing visuals.
Exactly. Powered by AI. It's a totally new way to experience creative entertainment, to engage with sports.
These examples really highlight how diverse AI's applications are becoming.
From coffee shop efficiency
to lifestyle enhancement at home to just spectacular creative work like the NFL's.
It's everywhere.
But it does raise important questions, right? We need to look at the trade-offs.
Like with Starbucks, efficiency is great, but what about the labor impact?
Exactly. Is it displacing jobs or transforming them? It's often complex. And with Samsung's AI Home,
beyond doing less, living more, what about data privacy?
Right. If AI manages your whole house, your fridge, your pets, that's an immense amount of personal data. Where does it go? How is it used?
Good point. And the NFL campaign, visually stunning, sure, but
it further blurs the lines, doesn't it? Between real and AI-generated content. As media gets more synthetic, how do we tell what's what?
Those are really crucial distinctions. Because, yeah, the innovation is exciting, the convenience is great, but not all the AI news is positive.
No, definitely not.
We need to bring in a more sobering view, a critical perspective from, well, a giant in the field, Geoffrey Hinton.
One of the godfathers of AI. His views carry a lot of weight.
He gave this interview to the Financial Times, and his prediction was pretty stark.
What did he say?
He believes that AI, specifically when combined with our current capitalist structures, is likely to make a few people much, much richer.
Yeah, and most people poorer.
Yeah. He really stressed that the tech itself isn't the sole villain. It magnifies existing economic systems, accelerates those tendencies.
So it's an amplifier effect.
Exactly. He predicts mass unemployment, deepening inequality. And interestingly, he dismissed UBI universal basic income.
Dismissed it as not enough.
As insufficient to preserve human dignity. He argues the biggest challenges aren't just the tech, but how our societies are set up, the choices we make.
Wow. That's sobering, especially coming from him, someone who built foundations.
It really makes you stop and think.
What's so powerful about Hinton's take is exactly that it comes from deep inside the field. It's not anti-technology.
It's informed by the technology.
Precisely. And that distinction he makes, AI as an amplifier of existing systems.
Yeah.
That's critical. It shifts the focus.
From just the tech itself to us.
Yes.
Our societal choices.
Yes. It means this isn't just a tech wave washing over us. It's about the decisions we make in response. If UBI isn't enough, like he suggests,
then what? What does that compel us to do?
It pushes us towards thinking about much more fundamental changes. Different ethical frameworks, different economic models.
We need actual policies, safety nets, re-education, job creation programs. Put them in place now.
Exactly. Proactive societal design rather than just reacting after the disruption happens within our current, perhaps inadequate, systems.
His analysis of AI as an amplifier, that really sticks with me. If UBI isn't the answer, what kind of choices do you think he's hinting at? Are we talking about totally reevaluating capitalism?
I think he's definitely pushing us beyond simple fixes. It could mean rethinking things like intellectual property in an AI world.
Or new ways to distribute wealth, not just tied to traditional jobs.
Perhaps. Or even valuing contributions beyond just economic output. It's about designing systems where these huge productivity gains from AI actually benefit more people.
Not just concentrate wealth and power even further.
Right. It's not a quick fix.
Yeah.
It's a major long-term societal project we need to start considering now.
Okay, wow. Given Hinton's stark warnings, it could feel a bit overwhelming.
Understandably.
But let's pivot for a moment. Let's end on something more empowering, more hands-on. Because these AI tools are also becoming super accessible for creativity.
Right, bringing it back to the individual user.
Exactly. We're going to give you a quick practical tutorial using Google's Nano Banana model.
Nano Banana, okay.
You can actually use it to turn your normal photos into these cool 3D style isometric visuals. It's easier than it sounds.
How does it work?
You just go to gemini.google.com, make sure the tools toggle is on, then select create images. It has this little banana icon.
Got it. Banana icon.
Then upload a photo of a room. Your living room, your office, whatever, and just type a prompt like, recreate this image in isometric view.
And it just does it?
Pretty much instantly. It gives you this stylized, almost blueprint-like view. It's really neat, highlights details differently.
Okay, cool. But can you change things?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the best part. You can refine elements without redoing the whole picture. So you can say, make the room bigger. Or, add a punk rock theme with a minimalist chandelier.
Seriously, it understands that.
Yeah, Nano Banana is smart enough to edit specific things while keeping the rest consistent. You can even change the view outside the window.
Like swap a city for an ocean.
Try it. Change cityscape window to ocean view.
Yeah.
Or add natural sunlight and a door to another room. It's amazing for trying out interior design ideas.
Or for architects, maybe? Content creators?
Definitely. Mocking up virtual spaces. And get this, you can take it even further with VEO. Upload your edited image.
And make a video.
Yeah. Prompt something like, make this room lively by adding two dogs running through. It'll generate a short video, even add sound effects.
That's incredibly accessible. For design mockups, visual storytelling, or just playing around.
Exactly. Pure creative fun right at your fingertips.
And if we connect that back to the bigger picture, this kind of tool shows the incredible democratization happening.
Making powerful creative tools available to everyone.
Right. AI, like Nano Banana, empowers individuals. It blurs the lines between, say, amateur and professional design. You don't need fancy software or skills anymore for decent mockups.
Opens up new ways for visual storytelling,
yeah,
planning.
Absolutely. It really invites you, the listener, to get hands-on. Explore your own creativity with AI. It's a nice counterpoint to the big, complex challenges we discussed.
It really is. And well, there you have it, our deep dive into the AI scene from September 5th, 2025.
Quite a journey.
Yeah, we covered a lot. OpenAI's big strategic plays, the chips, the jobs platform.
The rise of on-device intelligence with things like embedding Gemma and those self-improving agents from DeepSeek.
How AI is already here, Starbucks, Samsung, even the NFL's wild campaign.
And balance that with the really crucial warnings from people like Jeffrey Hinton.
Right. All topped off with some accessible creative tools you can try yourself.
It really shows AI isn't just one thing, is it?
Not at all. It's this complex, fast-moving tapestry. Innovation, challenges, opportunities, all woven together.
Indeed. And maybe, as we wrap up, a final thought for you to consider, building on everything we've talked about.
Okay. Leave us with something to chew on.
Considering this immense power AI is gaining, how deeply it's integrating into, well, everything, and those stark warnings about its societal impact, what specific responsibilities do we really have?
As individuals, as a society.
Yeah. What's our role in shaping how this technology gets developed and used? How do we ensure it serves the many, not just the few?
That's a powerful and definitely necessary question to ponder as we navigate all this. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive today.
Keep exploring. Keep asking those questions.
Absolutely. Stay informed as this technology continues its incredible evolution. We'll catch you next time.